You're listening to WGN Radio, 720 AM. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Oh, there's some music. There we go.
I'm the skies. I'm just your average Jane. The super doesn't stand for model, but that doesn't mean I'm plain.
We have a lot coming up tonight, and I want to try to get right to it. Later on, we'll find out why Jose Rico thinks that he should be the alderman for the 12th Ward. And we're going to check in with our friends from Northeastern Illinois University and some theater projects they have going on in communities throughout the city. And, of course, we'll check in with political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. But first, I want to talk about where we are right now. We are heading into the fifth week of a government shutdown. The president is demanding that Democrats agree to fund a wall in what he is calling a border crisis. And we can have opinions and arguments about the issue, but so few of us truly know what is happening along our southern border. So I thought we should talk to someone who can share firsthand experience from a law enforcement perspective. And I want to introduce you to the Pima County, Arizona Sheriff Mark Napier. Hey, Sheriff, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very well, Patty. Thank you for having me on.
I am. I'm really interested. First, I want to learn more about your career because it informs so much of your experience, and I know how hard you work to try to keep our country safe from your vantage point. Tell me, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Pima County?
No, I actually grew up right adjacent to you. I'm a displaced Iowa farm boy. I grew up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I became a police officer over in Marshalltown, Iowa in 1981, and was there for 6 years, and then went to Tucson, Arizona in 1987 to escape some weather that all of you might be enjoying that I no longer am. I think it was only 65 or 68 here today. It was very, very cold.
So you're saying that when you realized that snow was an option, you took off?
I can see the snow in the mountains from my my house, and that's as close as I want to get to it anymore. So we came to Tucson in 87. I took a position with the Tucson Police Department. I was there a little over 21 years. During my career with TPD, I realized law enforcement was becoming incredibly complex. It was just becoming more and more complex as my career went on. So I went back to school, and I got an undergraduate degree in social psychology, and then went on to get my master's degree from Boston University in criminal justice. And retired from Tucson Police in 2008 as a captain and went up to the Phoenix Valley. I was an assistant chief of police up there for a while, and then I thought I was going to retire. I took a job with the University of Arizona, which I love. I love the academic environment. I'm an academic at heart. And was there about 8 years, and then people said, hey, you should run for sheriff. And I said, no, I don't want to. I'm happy. I work 40 hours a week, and life is good. And they said, no, you really should. And as they say, the rest is history. I was elected and took office in January of 2017, and I've been the sheriff of this county for 2 years now.
So you come with experience not only in a fundamental way with as a police officer, but also from an academic background. I have to ask, what led you to a career in law enforcement?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know, and I guess that's the most honest answer, is that I always knew from the time I was a very small child that I was either going to be a police officer or a school teacher, and I ended up being both. I've been teaching for Boston University for the last 14 years in their online master's in criminal justice program. After I graduated, they hired me as a teacher, and I've been working for them ever since and have done a lot of consulting work and adult education stuff. So I love education. It's a passion of mine. I'm committed to that, but I love law enforcement. So I've had a blessed life, honestly, that I've been able to do both of those things.
And, I am wondering, coming from Iowa and then going down to Arizona, what was the big adjustment for you when it came to, law enforcement and fighting crime or, protecting the public safety?
Well, it was certainly an adjustment. Marshalltown is a relatively small community. Midwestern, as you know, and God bless the people in the Midwest. I just love all of you. I love going back there. I'll always be an Iowa farm boy at heart. There's a certain character to the people in the Midwest that I just really am fond of. And the culture here is very different. It's much more diverse. Pima County, my county, is 9,200 square miles, which is hard to imagine in the Midwest.
Wow.
Our exposure to the international border in just my county is 125 linear miles. So we're a very, very diverse community. Pima County has a population of just over 1 million people. We have very metropolitan areas and then very, very rural areas. I mean, very remote areas out in the deserts of the western part of my county and just some beautiful scenery. And we have wonderful people here, a great sense of culture. It's a very diverse community.
Now, in your experience, being working as the sheriff in Pima County, obviously different from when you're in Tucson, being right there where we're having these conversations, but earlier, even when you weren't along the border, what was your experience when it came to illegal immigration and how that was affecting crime and national security?
Well, I bifurcate the issue of illegal immigration from crime because they're not the same thing. Many people who immigrate to this country without proper documentation have no intention of committing a crime past entering this country without proper documentation. Many of them are very struggling in their home country and coming here for a better life. The crime picture, which I faced as a Tucson police officer and then a commander on the south side of Tucson, is it was a drug trafficking. We would have load houses throughout my area, and drug rip crews would come up from the border and actually engage in gunfights with other drug dealers in our community to steal either drugs or money or both. And then there's, of course, crime associated with human trafficking. The coyotes and bandits would prey upon the undocumented as they brought them across the border, and there was a crime associated with that. So often, and too often, in my opinion, we don't separate the issue of illegal immigration from transnational crime. They're not exactly the same. They kind of blend together a little bit, but so many people, Patty, in this world, especially in Central America, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, are making very, very desperate decisions. And you and I and probably everybody listening, with food in our stomachs and a roof over our head and safety, can't imagine the desperation some of these people feel. And they walk hundreds of miles to try to come to this country for a better life. Many of them are victimized criminally, victimized by the environment, which is very harsh in southern Arizona during the summer, and many of them lose their lives.
And that's something I've heard you talk about, whether it's the migration and trying to walk from wherever or make that journey to the borders or after they cross the border into your jurisdiction. I know that you've talked about how many bodies you recover throughout the year. How many did you have last year?
Over 100 bodies were recovered in the desert areas of Pima County. Those are the ones we find. And the tragedy is that we absolutely have no idea how many are out there. And now imagine that you are in, Honduras or El Salvador, and 5 years ago you kissed your family goodbye and said, I'm going to walk to America in the hope of a better life. And last week my deputies found your bones, and we'll never know who you were. Your family will never know what befell you. And that's a human rights issue. And I was so proud of the president last week when he led with the humanitarian issue. That was the first thing he said in his address last Tuesday night. He talked about this humanitarian crisis, and it's real. I see it in my county all the time, and we're keenly aware in this part of the world of the impacts of that humanitarian issue.
Do you struggle with the vocabulary, the language that's used in these arguments? You mentioned that the president framed it in, with the words a humanitarian effort, and I have to believe part of that is informed by perhaps the two children who lost their lives and other people who are, struggling and suffering. Would you prefer that the president and other politicians perhaps found a better way to have this public discourse?
Yes, I'm really disappointed, and honestly, from my viewpoint, I am a Republican sheriff, but there is most certainly enough blame to go around. I think what irritates sheriffs, and there are 31 border sheriffs that have joined the international border with Mexico, and we're collectively responsible for 2,000 miles of international border, is that we have people that come to, excuse the phrase, our part of the world, and they'll stand by a port of entry. And they'll get their picture taken with some people in uniform and fly back to Washington, D.C. as experts on the border. Well, that's ludicrous. We live this every day. This has been my home for 31 years. We have a pretty good handle on this. And the rhetoric, the political rhetoric, is so charged in Washington, D.C. on both sides of this issue that we're not moving the ball forward. And unfortunately, this has become a battle of who wins a political fight. And don't we send people to Washington, D.C. not to win for Republicans or Democrats, but to win for the American people. Isn't that why we sent them to Washington, D.C.? So I'm troubled by the fact that we can't seem to move the ball forward.
We are talking to Sheriff Mark Napier. He is the sheriff of Pima County, Arizona, with over 120 miles in his jurisdiction that is on the border with Mexico. He is our expert. As he just mentioned, folks go down there, they take a picture, we have these arguments. We act as though we are experts, but he is living this day-to-day with the men and women that he works with in law enforcement there, really putting themselves out there and trying to keep everybody safe. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment with the sheriff. We'll take a break here, sir, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Hold on. We'll be right back. More in a moment on 720 WGN. And this is your conversation, 312-981-7200. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share with us, perhaps you have a question for the sheriff, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. We've had some conversations on this show. We try to limit our discussion of politics to Friday nights because there's just too much going on. But there's not, you know what, we'd complain about it. These conversations are exhausting. We get mad at each other. But there are men and women who are working in law enforcement, whether it's here in Chicago, throughout the country. But we're talking right now with Sheriff Mark Napier of Pima County, Arizona. And this is a focus of a conversation because we are talking about a border crisis and whether or not this is a national emergency. And Sheriff, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I know that there was you guys had a drug gang bust about a week ago. That was a year-long investigation in multi-agency. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I can actually do one better for your listeners, Patty. Yesterday, my deputies interdicted, it's 14 pounds of heroin, 8 pounds of methamphetamine, and 10,000 fentanyl pills in one day. Now, we know that those drugs are not going to be consumed in Pima County. They're going to go everywhere. And when people talk about this crisis, I remind them that, you know, if I can interdict something in my backyard, people don't die in your front yard. Those fentanyl pills were going to go somewhere, and they weren't going to be consumed here locally. So this is a crisis, and I know there's a lot of political rhetoric surrounding this, but I'm a criminal justice professional. I'm a cop at heart. I'm not a politician or any of those things. And I see the crisis from a humanitarian standpoint, from a public safety standpoint, and then most certainly a national security concern, because we do not know who's coming across the border. And we know that there are hostile nations with bad actors that would like to do us harm. And to assume that that's not an invulnerability, not knowing who's coming across the border, is simply disingenuous. And that's really why we have to secure the border. It's a humanitarian issue, it's a public safety issue, and it's a national security concern. And I wish the rhetoric would calm down and everybody could say, yes, we've got to get some difficult work done here.
And one of the things I've read in interviews you've given is the idea that we also incentivize people to come here with their children. We're seeing all these photos of families and images, and there are, as we reported in the news, Andre was reporting about the families who are separated and the numbers that might be different than we believe them to be previously. But you believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that we really incentivize these families to come with kids as though if they have a child in hand, then they will be able to stay here. Is that your point of view?
Yeah, it's a systemic problem. It's a system problem that incentivizes or otherwise encourages somebody in Honduras or El Salvador to grab their minor children by the hand and walk literally, imagine, hundreds of miles through all sort of environmental conditions, climate conditions, criminal hazards, to come to the border in belief that they can walk across and have a better life. And unfortunately, the victimization of these people as they travel north is horrific, and the environmental impact of these people, especially children, where they become ill and then they come into the United States and then they end up dying of illness. Here's the other thing that people aren't aware of in the Chicago area, I believe, is that if I'm holding the child of a minor hand, and I'm a 50-some-year-old man, but I've got the holding the hand of a 4-year-old girl, I present myself at the border, and I have an extensive criminal record, and nothing in the world that we know of connects me to this child. We cannot just simply let me have the child, because we don't know. And some of these separations, albeit not all of them, but some of these are simply because we cannot connect the minor child to the person presenting themselves at the border purporting to be a guardian or parent, because we simply don't know. And it would be unsafe if we know that the person with the child has an extensive criminal record to simply turn a child over to that person and hope for the best.
From your vantage point, how much is this an issue of human resources, the ability to, you know, be at these checkpoints when the families come across the border in order to facilitate a safe passage, whether it's to stay here or to be sent back?
It's a huge issue. The system is not designed to address the issue of family units. If you go back, you know, 10 years ago, people coming across the border were almost all of Mexican descent and almost all single males. Now, more than half, well more than half, are what we categorize as OTMs, other than Mexicans, which are from Central America and places all over the world, and a vast majority of them are now family units or unaccompanied minors, which is another issue, is children showing up at these ports of entry. It's overwhelmed the system. The system's not designed to handle this, and it's caused a terrible humanitarian crisis, both as they migrate northward, the victimization of these people, but then when they get to the border, our capacity to deal with that is really strained.
And what is the relationship then of all the different law enforcement agencies, federal agencies, you know, the folks who have to process people coming through? What kind of coordination exists there?
We have great relationships with our federal partners. I have about 500 sworn officers. My department is 1,500 people, but about 500 of those are sworn. There are about 4,000 Border Patrol agents in the Tucson sector, so they have tremendous resources, and we work closely with our federal partners. But that doesn't mean that my deputies should adopt responsibility for federal immigration enforcement. That's not our role. That's the federal government's role. And so we try to stay in our lane, which is public safety in our county, which is something that keeps us very busy. But necessarily, sometimes those lanes cross because people come into this country without proper documentation and present themselves. The thing that most people, too, do not realize is the majority of the time that my deputies contact somebody in this country without proper documentation, they're surrendering to us because they're in desperate need of assistance. What we'll have is somebody come out of the desert, flag one of my deputies down, saying, agua, 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 because they've been walking for 3 days across the desert with no water.
Sure. I have listeners that are starting to join our conversation. I want to introduce you to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. What do you want to say?
Hi. I just wanted to thank Sheriff Mark, and I'm sorry I didn't get the last name.
Napier.
But I'm 57 years old, and I listen to the news everywhere all the time. And Sheriff Mark, I just wanted to thank you for doing a whole 360 view of this. You always hear one side or the other, and I love the way you present it, and I don't know if you have a website, but I hope so, because I would love somehow to print off what you're saying and send it to the president. So I don't think he gets an overview of all this either. I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but I just think he needs a better view of the systems that are involved here.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I never have prepared remarks. I speak from my heart. I believe that these issues are not partisan issues. Public safety and human rights and security is not a partisan issue. It's a community issue. It's a quality of life issue. It's a human condition issue.
I understand that, and I totally agree with you. I'm just saying that's not the message that's put out there as much as it should be.
No, I most certainly agree with you.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
What a lovely call. Thank you. And a similar sentiment from the 815. The sheriff has a great voice, rings with sincerity, and helps you listen because he doesn't sound condescending or as though he has a political axe to grind.
I don't. This is not a political issue until we get to Washington, D.C., folks. It really isn't. I think that there has been bipartisan agreement in the past that we do need to secure our border for very good and rational reasons. And it's not about hatred. I mean, so much of this has been categorized as racism and hatred. In Tucson, Arizona, where I live, and Pima County, the Mexican people are not our enemy. They're not our combatants. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. They're our trading partners. We rely on transnational commerce for our economy here. On a personal note, if I may share, that on Christmas, my present this year was a son-in-law, a young man who's immigrated here from El Salvador. I've been dating my youngest daughter for a while. And on Christmas day night, he proposed to my daughter, and he will become my son-in-law in September.
Aww.
So hate doesn't reside in my heart for these people. I have the most compassion. I gave an interview to an El Salvador newspaper today, and after the interview, the reporter said, you're not what we think of as a sheriff. And I said, well, how so? And he says, it seems like you care about people. And I said, well, good gravy. I mean, exactly. That's why we become law enforcement professionals. I know that you have some issues back in the Chicago area, but I will tell you, I've been in this line of work for more than 30 years, and the vast majority of the people that enter this career field do so because they care about people. And we make mistakes, but you're certainly never going to get rich in this career field, and if you don't have caring for your fellow man in your heart, this is a bad job for you.
Sheriff, I think that's the best way to end this. Congratulations on getting a son-in-law in the family, and I want to thank you for caring and for reminding us of what it means to protect the public safety.
Well, thank you very much. I'll come on anytime, Patty.
Oh, well, I'm going to mark that. Mark, make sure we have that recorded. He said he'll come back. Thank you, Sheriff. I know
thank
it's
you,
late
Patty.
For you. Have a great evening and a great rest of your week. Take care.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. More after this on 720 WGN.